Last week we had a picture up there of the first building with its addition. This is the building as it stood before it had any other additions. Because, you know, that section over there didn't exist. And we actually had doors and windows. Wow. That was kind of cool. That was the main entrance then. So that there was the building, because people in the other section said, hey, you know, we have a vision and we want to grow and we want to have a place to meet. And along with talking about the structure last week, we talked about some of God's goals for Orangevale. And ultimately we said that God's goal for us is to live like Jesus and to share the message about Jesus along with what he's done for us in our daily lives. And to do that, we're to go ahead and do that, not at any one particular time, but whenever and wherever we go. And by doing that, we encourage as many others as we possibly can to come along with us as we continue along the way. And today, we want to talk about the kind of vision that we need to have for our congregation to fulfill God's goals for Orangevale. Does anyone happen to know what a mission statement is? I hope, well, some people probably in business and stuff, you know, you probably know. Schools have them. Churches even have them. One definition I found online says that a mission statement is a brief written declaration of an organization's core purpose and focus that normally remains unchanged over time. Because really, if you change your mission statement, you're changing your mission. Really, okay? Well, go ahead, and I know you've been asked to do this once already, but let me assume you have a bulletin. Go ahead and take out your bulletin. And if it doesn't have to be this week's, it could be last week's, because as you can see, if you take out the bulletin, thank you, Tom, you can see in the upper right-hand corner our mission statement. It's been there ever since I can remember. Anyway, this is what it says. It says, to know God, obey his will, and exalt Jesus as Savior, so that all may be transformed by his Spirit into a loving family serving the world with his good news. If you didn't know that or not, that's our mission statement. It's on every single bulletin. And probably like the weather in the uphand corner of a paper, you ignore it. No, no. I mean, a lot of people are like, what is that up there? I don't know. That's our mission statement. For those who've been here longer than probably 10 years, you know that. All right? To know God, obey his will, and exalt Jesus as Savior so that all may be transformed by his Spirit into a loving family seeking, that is, serving the world with his good news. That's an incredibly awesome mission statement that we have. And again, I don't know how long that's been our mission statement, but clearly it was well thought out, I would assume, by our elders at one time. It's concise, it's biblical, and it's in plain view every single week for us to remember what our mission is here in Orangevale. And I would like to challenge you that every week when you pick up the bulletin to review that mission statement, okay? All right, well, it's with that mission statement in mind that we want to look at just three things today in order to fulfill our mission. And the first is to live our identity. We need to live our identity. Of course, in order to do that, we again need to know who we really are, and we are God's children. Over in John chapter 1, starting in verse 11 down through verse 13, we're told that Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so no matter the person's background, he or she can become a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And so we become God's children. We become followers of Christ. We become Christians. And in doing so, we die to our old way of living, and we now live a new way because of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're a new creation. And so as God's child, you are now the light and the salt and the leaven of Christ. Now, you say, Chuck, and we talked about that some last week, and I know that. I said, yeah, we did. We did, okay? But you see, it's easy for us to say we're a Christian. It's really easy. I'm a Christian, you know. But do you live your identity? Do you live your identity? In other words, what do people see in you? Do they actually see Christ in your life? Or more importantly, think about what do people see in us? And what I mean by us is I mean the church that belongs to Jesus Christ here in Orangevale. Does the Orangevale community see us living out Christ in Orangevale? And, you know, to be sure, people do watch us. They do. Especially when they know that we're a Christian. Because they want to see how we're acting, if we're going to slip up, if we're going to be a hypocrite or whatever, you know? And while that might not seem fair, that's just the way it is. And that's why people need to see us do good things, so that God gets the glory, Matthew 5:16. And that's also why we need to be careful not to do anything that isn't Christ-like. That said, we don't have to be perfect, but we need to be consistent. I came across a story that you may have heard one time ago by some preacher who knows where. It's a preacher story, okay, I'll tell you that. But it's a story that makes her point. It's about a couple of preachers, don't you know, we talk about things, you know, who are arguing over Bible translations. And one said that he preferred the King James because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. Another said that he preferred the New American Standard for its literalism and the way it moves the reader from one passage to the other with this confident feeling of accuracy to the original text. And a third preferred the English Standard Version because of its contemporary use of words and how the turn of a phrase captures the attention of the reader. Well, after giving the issue some thought, the fourth preacher admitted, "I personally prefer my mother's translation." The other preachers looked at each other, wondering if this guy's mom wasn't some kind of a Greek scholar. Hey, you never know. But then, of course, he added, "Yeah, she translated it. She translated each and every page of the Bible into life. And it's the most convincing translation I ever saw." And you see, the point of that illustration, right, is that we need to be able to bring the pages of the Bible to life in our life. We need to live our identity as a child of God. Last week, for example, I asked about why we're here. And I tried to clarify that Sunday night by saying what I meant by that was, why do others in Orangevale think we're here? In other words, why do we exist in Orangevale? And you can point to the mission statement, that's fine. But what do we do for Orangevale? If you were to ask somebody out on the street, why is that church there? What would they say? And so, really then, if we were to cease to exist, would the Orangevale community miss us? In other words, what kind of presence do we have in the Orangevale community? How are we living our identity as Christ Church in Orangevale? Well, let me share with you some of what I've been thinking about and really trying to get us all to think about. I think some people have been thinking about this, but if not, maybe you're thinking about it. And I'm going to share it with you now. Okay, here we go. Here's some of what I think are some very viable ideas. And again, these are ideas that haven't become reality until we get together and say, hey, let's do this, okay? All right, these are some ideas that we can do to improve our presence in Orangevale and actually live our identity, helping others to see our value to our community. And again, they're just ideas, but let's think about them. And I have seven of them because seven's a good biblical number. I had six, but I thought, nah, six is of the devil. I'm going to have seven. Okay. I did. Number one, these are just ideas to think about to make our presence known in the community, showing we live our identity. Number one, we already have men and at least one woman that ride motorcycles and take periodic rides. We need to capitalize on what we already have, form an official group, maybe called the Orange Vale Church Motorcycle Club, the OVCMC. I'm serious. Put a little something on the back. We'll get some embroidery. We'll get it done, right? The OVCMC. And get them riding on a regular basis. Get it, make and encourage other riders from the community to join us. Wow, look how that works, right? We put it in the Orange Vale View that we have a motorcycle club. We get some other riders. And you see, you know what that does? It shows we have a presence in our community. It shows that we're involved in our community, that we're actually living our identity. We care about our community, and maybe even we get to a point where the group is so focused and strong, something happens in the community, and think, hey, you know, we could do a ride and raise some money. And then we do that, and we end up helping people, and we get that published. You say, do we need to publish it? God knows. Yeah, but everybody else needs to know. That's how we grow. Not by sticking up a billboard, but by telling people what we do and do it to actually live our identity. Think about it. Number two, down the street, over there's a local food bank that some of us could volunteer at if we can find the people willing to volunteer at. Maybe we can get, again, an official OVC shirt. There was one a long time ago for the preschool. Let's make one for us. They're not that expensive. And we wear those t-shirts whenever we do something out in public, like volunteer at these food banks. Again, that shows we're involved in the community and that we are living our identity. We care about our community. Number three, a parade. This was already mentioned. It was Jerry's idea. I don't want to take Jerry's idea. This is Jerry's idea. Let's be in a parade. It's so simple, you know. No matter what the parade, Orange Vale has the Powwow Day Parade once a year. We don't have to have a booth and have someone out there sweating. Forget that. Just be in the parade. Go through with a float. Have little banners up describing who we are. Pass out some candy. They have little scripture candies at bookstores. You ever see them? I have. You can buy them online. Have little verses on them. Anything, okay? Just pass out candy. Just be careful not to hit anybody when you toss it, you know. Just be nice. There's a Veterans Day parade annually in Folsom. There's got to be something that happens in Fair Oaks. I would focus on those areas because they border us. Okay? Citrus Heights is okay, but it's kind of over there, all right? If we could do something there, it's fine. But the further away we go, we want to try to focus here, okay? Because, again, we want to show folks that we are living our identity in our community. So we need to get involved in some parades. So for next year, we need to form some sort of a group that's going to look into these parades and make sure that we get it happening, okay? Idea number four. I like what Linda's doing. This is Linda's idea, okay? I like what she's doing, what I call the Footwalkers Fellowship. She calls it walking around the church, all right? But I call it Footwalkers Fellowship because that way you could be footwalking around the mall. You could be footwalking anywhere. Fellowship implies a common belief, and I like alliteration. You know that. All right. She started that again. She's passing out some papers, whatever. It's kind of like back and forth. But think about, again, what could happen if that gets going really big. Think about that, okay? Again, we put on some of those official OVC t-shirts that identify us as who we are, and whether we're mall walking around the building, maybe walking down a trail, we get such a big group of beginners that we fundraise, we get some pictures taken, send it off to the View, they'll publish it. That's what they do. They got nothing else in there anyway, but ads, they'll run our stuff. I talked to the guy, okay? So we've got to capitalize on that, make it bigger. Number five, I love what the Placerville Church does with their Soul Quest. If you don't know what SoulQuest is, there's a flyer out on the board. It was mentioned earlier about churches helping other churches and the Bible class over here. If you want to help out with SoulQuest, go over there and check it out. It's in Placerville. They invite other congregations to help out. Let me tell you what SoulQuest is, if you don't know what it is. The Placerville Church of Christ, every year, once a year, goes out and they helps people in the community with home repairs, cleaning, painting, whatever. We could do that one weekend a year. All right, we could do something similar just for like one day, a Saturday. I don't know. Start out small. Again, whatever we do is going to start out small and build up because we haven't done really anything. So it's going to start small. We call it the OV Church Cares Weekend or something like that. Got to get us in there, okay? SoulQuest sounds a bit churchy. I'm not going out there slamming Bibles in people's faces. We want to go out there and show that we care. And we solicit from the Orangevale community on a very limited basis, maybe place an ad in the View again, saying that, hey, you know, we have a very limited outreach and resource, but if you have a need that we can help out with, contact us. We have an application, people fill it out. If we think it's doable and we can do it, we have some resources, we do it. And then we take a picture of it, get a write-up, put it in the View. Orangevale Church is out there caring for the community. We're living our identity. Idea number six, two more to go. And this is just really a tweak of our annual Thanksgiving baskets, just a tweak. But this year I would like it again if the LTC group solicited a maximum of 10 families from the Orangevale community, new families. Again, using the Orangevale View. I know that opens us up to a lot, but again, it's an application process. All right, first 10 in, sorry, it's done. And say, sorry, it's done. That's all we could do. Okay. All right. And then we try to get one of those families, at least one, to agree to a photograph. And again, we publish it in the View. And why? Because we advertised we were going to help people, and now we want to show that we are helping people. You say, Chuck, that sounds like advertising. I'm sorry, it is. Jesus didn't stay locked up in some cabin in Galilee. He went out and he preached in the community. This is how we preach in our community. Okay, we need to get out of the building. All right, we don't want to draw people to the building. We want to get out to the community. All right, so we do that. Now, we usually do 20. I'm not forgetting the people that we usually take care of, some in our church family and those connected. So the other 10 baskets, we do help those within our immediate church family. No worries, everyone's covered. And again, no matter what, though, that's up to the LTC group on Wednesday. That's their thing. Number seven, and that's my last idea again because we needed seven. I could do 10, but I didn't want to make it too long. I want to get you thinking of some others to make it 10, okay? And this is really not an idea. It's more of an acknowledgement. It's really to keep doing group lunches like we have been doing on the first Sunday of the month, no matter where we go. And here's why. Last Sunday, for those of us who went over to Roundtable, I overheard a woman ask one of our members what church we were with. And she was told that we were with the Orangevale Church of Christ, and that woman responded with, God bless you. You see, when we go out into the community and we make our presence known, we make the presence of Christ known. And when we act like Christians and we fellowship together outside of the building, it shows again that, hey, you know, we are like everybody else. We eat pizza. We're a little chubby. We're a little thin. We wear glasses. We're bald. Some of us have more hair. I don't know, okay? But we're a part of your community. We live and eat in your community. We do things in your community. Okay? When we do that, we're living our identity. We need to live our identity. Again, these are just some ideas, and they're just ideas, but they're the kind of things that I've been thinking about, the kind of things that I really want us to think about. Okay, the Orangevale community needs to know why the Orangevale Church is here in Orangevale. We know why, but we need to make sure they know why, okay? They need to know what we do for Orangevale, to serve Orangevale. We need a better established presence, is what we're talking about, in Orangevale. We need to live our identity in community. When that happens, like I wrote a couple of weeks ago in the back of the sermon notes, I believe that people will be drawn to our faith community. Again, we are to live our identity. Second, we are to share our vision. We're to share our vision. We need to share it. Glaucoma. Being someone who wears glasses, I'm aware of what glaucoma is. You might be aware of it. You might know someone affected by it. Glaucoma is a rather nasty eye disease. It's when fluid gathers up in your eye, pressure builds up, presses against the optic nerve, and if it's left untreated, you go blind. The thing with glaucoma is that if you're not doing regular eye exams, you can start to feel a little ache in your eye, a little pain, and before you know it, just kind of get used to it. It builds up and builds up. You might not even know that you've got glaucoma until it's too late and you're pretty well blind. Okay? So, guacamole in your eye. If you don't know you got guacamole in your eye, you're in trouble. Okay, anyway. But glaucoma can sneak up on you. And scripturally speaking then, Proverbs 29:18 is a warning about spiritual glaucoma. The King James reads in that popular proverb, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you have an NIV like I do, that reads, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. And the Message paraphrase, if you happen to ever read that, it's interesting. Good for devotionals. That's about it, though. Anyway, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Kind of like that. Another way to say it is, if we lose sight of God's purpose, we're spiritually blind. We all know that the church exists to make disciples and that we as Christians are to lead the lost into a saving relationship with Jesus and that we are to teach those who are saved how to become mature followers in Jesus. And they in turn then are to go and to grow. That's Christ's vision and our vision too, and that's how things multiply, okay? The problem is that Satan gets in our way. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says it this way, that the God of this age, that's not talking about the God of heaven and earth, but Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so we need to be his people again, shining the light of Jesus so bright that it dispels the darkness of the world. Think about it again. God's answer for the spiritual darkness of a lost world is you and me. It's you and me. Yeah. All right, the next couple of verses in 2 Corinthians 4 says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. It's that servant heart again, you know. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Wow, that light's just inside us, just so shining and bright. We got to let it shine all around the neighborhood. You see, God's answer to the darkness in the world is for us to become servants who reflect the light of Christ. Think about some of those ideas from before. It's servanthood, you see. It's being the light in our community. Thereby, it shows those who are struggling or suffering out in that darkness the true light of Christ. And in doing so, we share the vision of Christ with those around us. We share the gospel and God's vision to save the world. It's that whole thing again, people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care, right? And it's all possible for us to do because of the Holy Spirit that's living inside us as Christians. And his Spirit lets us see people like Jesus sees them. Like Zacchaeus, the outcast. Or like anybody else that is maybe one of them. But you see, they can become one of us because that's God's plan. And his Spirit causes us to love the lost and the hurting and to seek them just like Jesus did. Again, we need to live our identity and share our vision. And third, fulfill our purpose. We need to fulfill our purpose. As a child of God, our identity before God is that of Christ. But our identity outside these walls in Orangevale is what we do. It's what we do. It's what people see. And so if we are a light, then we must shine. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men or people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. We know that verse. But you see, if we are the light of the world, if Jesus is shining through us, we got to quit hiding inside a building. Okay? We must shine and shine outside of the walls here. And so, too, if we're the salt, then we must do what salt does and preserve the gospel truth. We must flavor the community around us with the love of Christ. Matthew 5, 13. We must preserve and flavor and shine. And if we're the leaven, for the yeast, then we must do what the leaven does. We must influence those around us with the gospel and the love of the Lord. Again, Luke 13, 21. We must influence them with the kind of love that Jesus shows. We must influence them with the love of the gospel. One more thought with that. If we're blessed, then we must be a blessing to those around us. Peter says it this way from the scripture reading that George read for us in chapter 2, verse 9 of 1 Peter. He says, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so we're to be that light. We have been blessed as a kingdom of priests and chosen of God. And one of the things that we're supposed to do is declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into this wonderful light and to bring other people to the light. We must be a blessing because in Christ we have been blessed so much. We need to fulfill our purpose. Think about this. As a child of God, we live in two places, technically. We live in the here and the hereafter. And we're striving to live here in such a way on earth that we will not only have the hereafter in heaven as our home, but so will all of our friends and family and everyone else that we ever come into contact with. It's all a matter of what we see as the means and the end. In other words, what's the goal? When it comes to a performance on a stage, the event itself is the goal. When you see a movie, you know, they work hard all throughout the time and then, you know, you go to see the movie, that's their goal, okay? What performers have practiced and led up to, that's the means, you see, at the end is the goal. But for you and me as Christians, the event is not the goal. In other words, being here on Sunday is not the goal. Being here on Sunday is not the end. It is but the means to achieve the end. The salvation of souls. So events like preaching and teaching and giving and singing and whatever other community involvement we happen to get into, those are all means by which we achieve the goal. Think about that. The goal is not to have 300 people fill the auditorium on a Sunday morning. It'd be nice. But assembling is but a means to the end. This is not the end goal. The goal is for us, no matter if it's 3:30, 3,000, is to make it to heaven. And so God has given us each other in this community while we're here so that we can all be together later on in the hereafter. And so we need to fulfill our purpose. And remember, what we're doing here is really the means to the goal. And so we need to be the light and the salt and the leaven of Christ to those around us so that we can all reach that heavenly goal. Again, without looking at your bulletin, our mission at Orangevale is to know God, obey his will, exalt Jesus as Savior so that all may be transformed by his Spirit into a loving family serving the world with his good news. That's what it is right now. If we're going to change it, we need to make some decisions, but that's what it is. So let's do what it says. And now when we can fulfill our mission, I think with three things. Again, we live our identity, share our vision, and fulfill our purpose. And our mission, again, is a simple one. It's the same mission that the church has had since Jesus went ahead and told his disciples in Matthew 28. He said to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And Jesus said, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And again, remember, we do whatever we do. Whatever we do while we're here on this earth to fulfill that mission is just a means to the end. And the end is heaven. That's our goal. Get everybody to heaven. Now, we talked some about God's goals and a little bit about vision today. Next week, I hope to challenge us a bit with some personal goals that I think we're all going to really need in order to help each other to further the kingdom of God here in Orangevale. So that's what we have in store for next week. And so with that in mind, we're now at that special time again where we go ahead and offer the invitation of Christ. And so if there's anyone here who is not yet a Christian, again, know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and rose again. And if you believe that truth and confess that truth, repenting of your sins, you can be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the promised Holy Spirit dwelling in you and be saved. For those of us who are already Christians, again, let's remember to keep the vision of the Orangevale Church and make God's goal our goal so that others can know the gospel and be saved too. So again, if there's anyone who needs to come forward, whether for a prayer request or some other need that maybe we could help out with, you are always encouraged to come as we stand and sing.